took the loss hard. I bet that built quite a bond between you and James. Is that how you got together? No. We'd started dating before that. The doctor leans forward. Tell me about it. Even though something in my head tells me not to talk about him, my emotions overwhelm me. I miss him, and I want to remember what it was like before. For the first time in so long, I'm allowed to cry. I'm allowed to let it out. So I close my eyes and lean my head back into the chair. And I tell her about the first time I realized I had feelings for James. Let me get this straight, the doctor says when I finish. James tried to avoid the relationship at first? Passive-aggressively, yes. We both loved my brother and didn't want to piss him off. Then how did you go from that to a relationship? It took a while, I say, glancing at her. Even that first day was confusing. After we'd gotten back to camp, it was awkward. Horrible. I figured it'd pass eventually. Then that night, the three of us got into our tent, Brady on one side of me, James on the other. It was a huge tent, and Brady was curled away from us. But James lay right at my side, his arm nearly but not quite touching mine. It felt like forever. All I could hear was his breathing, my breathing. I tried to close my eyes, but my body was tingling. I sensed him looking at me and swallowed hard, wishing I could be asleep already. And just then, his hand brushed mine so lightly, it was like nothing at all. I hitched in a breath and turned sideways, only to find him staring back. I smile. His blue eyes were so confused, and I thought he was going to kiss me. Did he? Dr. Warren asks. I shake my head. Nope. Instead, he swore and then climbed up, grabbing his sleeping bag and his backpack. He unzipped the tent flap and went outside. He ended up sleeping in the car that night. Dr. Warren pulls her eyebrows together. Why would he do that? Were you upset? Well, I definitely didn't sleep well. I felt guilty and embarrassed. Later, James told me that when he touched me, when I looked at him, he got a hard-on. I laugh. So he's a romantic, Dr. Warren grins. That's just James. He actually meant it as a compliment, but he was set on not liking me, so he went to sleep in the car. He was hoping I hadn't noticed, which I didn't. I wish I had, though, because I spent the next few weeks feeling miserable, like I'd done something wrong. The timer on her desk goes off, and Dr. Warren smiles at me again. Fascinating story, Sloane. I hope tomorrow I can hear more. I nod, feeling decent for the first time in weeks. Talking about James helped, as if he were here with me, the old James, the one I've missed so desperately. Although it might be naive, for a second I think it'll be okay. That maybe Dr. Warren really does want to help me. Wait, she says, handing me a Dixie cup. I glance inside and see a yellow pill. Take this, Sloane. But it'll help the feeling last longer, she says, and smiles. I don't want to go back to the misery I felt when I walked in here, so I swallow it and leave. As I'm walking down the hallway, heading back to my room, I feel a wave of dizziness. I rest my palm on the cool tile of the wall to balance myself. A streak of fear races through me. Oh no, what was in that pill? I touch my forehead, thinking back on the session. But as I search my memories, I become disoriented and the world seems to tip sideways. A hand touches my elbow. Let's get you back to your room, Miss Barstow. I look over to see the dark-haired handler, a sinister smile on his lips. I yank my arm out of his grip. Leave me alone. Now, he says teasingly. Let's not be difficult. I can restrain you again. But I'm not going to let him intimidate me, threaten me. The program can't have me. So I swing out my arm, punching the left side of his jaw. He immediately recovers and twists my hand up behind my back, cursing under his breath as he slams me against the wall. When there's a sudden pinch in my arm, the sedative, I laugh. I don't care how many drugs you and the doctors give me, I say. I'll never let you take my memories. The handler leans in, his breath warm on my ear. You stupid girl, he whispers. We already have. And then I sleep. Chapter 3. I'm in my chair by the window again, the same one I've sat in for 3 days. The sky is overcast, and I'm glad. It's a bitter feeling, something like, if I can't be happy, no one should. I wonder what James is doing, but then I push the thought away, remembering that he doesn't know me anymore. I'm guessing another kick-dog joke would be in bad taste, right? I don't turn toward the guy's voice, and instead continue to stare outside. I might even appear catatonic. Are you always so mean? He asks. Yes, I answer automatically. I wish he would go away. I wish they all would go away. Charming. So anyway, I brought you this and wanted to invite you to our card game tonight if you're up for it. But leave your horns and pitchfork behind. He sets a large pretzel stick on the table next to me, and I look at it, but not at him. Very exclusive card game, I might add. I can hear the smile in his voice. I lean over and pick up the pretzel stick, examining it for a second before taking a bite. I say nothing and go back to watching the darkening clouds outside of the window. I hope it rains soon. You're welcome, the guy says, sounding defeated. Maybe I'll see you later. I wait until he's gone before looking up. He's on the couch with a red-headed girl, laughing hysterically as if we weren't in the program. As if this was a party in someone's parents' basement. The pretzel becomes dry in my mouth, and I think I might choke on it. And just then, the guy glances over his shoulder at me, his dark eyes concerned, and I turn away again. When did you and James start dating? Dr. Warren asks. I sit back, looking her over as the medication makes the edges of my vision hazy. The doctor has her hair pulled up into a bun, her makeup and pantsuit paired nicely. She's perfect. She's fake. I've been in the program for close to a week now. I take the pills when they're offered, opting to sleep rather than live an actual life. Even though I don't trust Dr. Warren, not even a little, I took the pill sitting on her desk when I walked in. In therapy, it's like my past is more attainable, as if the medication can help me zero in with clarity. And when I'm with James in my head, I'm not so lonely anymore. I don't feel like talking today, I say, wanting to keep the thoughts to myself. She sighs. That's understandable, but I'm really just curious about you two. He's such a source of anger. No, he's not, I say instantly. He's the only thing I care about anymore. But you're angry. Because you took him. You changed him. I didn't do those things. James was at another facility. But I've had a chance to look through his file. She lowers her voice. It says that James attempted suicide in the program. Would you rather he was dead? Her words cut through me, and I touch my chest, startled. James tried to kill himself? Oh my God, the thought of it, just the thought makes tears stream from my eyes. No, I whisper. I wouldn't want him dead. That's good, Sloan, she says, like it answers a question. That's how you're supposed to react when someone wants to kill himself. Now, tell me more about James. It'll make you feel better, I promise. I sniffle, putting my forearm over my face as I think back on my and James's life together. I used to avoid him. I start, relaxing into the medication. He'd be at the house with Brady, and I would duck out of the room or just pretend he wasn't there. A few times he asked if I was okay, but I couldn't look him in the eyes after the camping thing. Brady told me I was acting weird. I laugh softly and lower my arm, remembering the face my brother would make when he said it. After a few weeks, I continue, James got annoyed. He even paid Brady $5 to get him to call me into the room with them. I thought he was making fun of me, but when I stormed off, things changed. How so? Dr. Warren asks. James followed me upstairs, telling my brother he was coming to apologize. When he knocked on my door, I didn't want to let him in at first, but he said please. I smile, still able to hear his voice in my head. Hear the soft, desperate way his words struck my heart. I was helpless to resist him, even then. I wait before telling Dr. Warren the rest. Wait as the drugs course through my veins, enveloping me in calm. I want to tell her everything. But first, I relive the moment for myself, seeking my own safe place in the program. When I opened my bedroom door, I found James leaning against the frame, looking utterly miserable. "You hate me," he said. "No." "Then why are you ignoring me?" I was thrown off and looked past him into the hall to make sure no one was around. "What do you care?" I asked. "You already told me I wasn't allowed to..." I motioned between the two of us, my face burning with embarrassment. "Yeah, I say a lot of stupid things, Sloan. Why did you listen to that one?" I stepped back then, confused. Was he... Did he... James pushed my door open wider and walked in, closing it behind him. I stared at him, not sure what he was going to do. "Here's the thing," he said. "I don't want to like you." My heart sunk. "I don't even want to notice you're pretty. I want to tackle you in the dirt and make fun of your hair. I shouldn't be thinking about putting my arms around you, and I sure as hell shouldn't be thinking about kissing you right now." A tiny gasp escaped my lips and my entire body warmed at his confession. But I was terrified of what would happen next, what it would mean. "You can't kiss me," I said, taking another step back. "You'll ruin everything." "I know," he agreed. He looked around my room, clearly annoyed, and then back at me. "What have you done?" he asked me.
"Me?"
"God," he said, ignoring my question. "Do you know how many girls I don't like? And then the one I do, it's my best friend's little sister." Butterflies went crazy in my stomach.
"You like me?"
His eyes met mine, and then he furrowed his brow like he thought I was stupid. "Yes, Sloan."
"And you're being mean to me because..."
Then suddenly, James's face cleared, and he laughed. "I don't know exactly, but I've been trying to not like you since you gave me a hard-on in the tent, so..."
"What?"
"Don't worry about it. Okay, so listen, we're not going to kiss or anything," he said, as if I'd propositioned him. Maybe if we hang out, just the two of us, we'll realize that we don't really like each other. You could end up hating me. I can be a total shithead." My mouth twitched with a smile.
"James, I've known you since I was in second grade. I'm not sure spending more time together is a great idea."
He watched me for a while, thinking it over. "Probably not," he said quietly. "But I want to anyway."
"Oh."
He shrugged. "Come here." I widened my eyes, startled. I thought he said we wouldn't kiss.
"No."
James didn't wait and instead moved to wrap his arms around me, pulling me into a hug. He rested his cheek on the top of my head, and I wasn't sure what to do. We didn't move for a long moment, and eventually I slid my hands from my side and put them around his waist. He sighed when I did.
"Freaking hell, Sloan," he breathed into my hair. "We're gonna end up making a mess of things." I know.
He squeezed me one more time and then dropped his arms, turning and leaving the room without another look back at me. I was stunned, standing there alone in my room. But after a moment, I put my hand over my heart and smiled. I startle when the buzzer sounds the minute I'm done talking, signaling the end of therapy. I feel better, the remembered moments with James enough to make me want to live another day, even if it's just today. I stand to leave when Dr. Warren calls my name. I turn back and she smiles, sliding the Dixie cup with a yellow pill toward me. "You forgot your medication," she says. Even though the calming effects of the last pill are still heavy in my system, I get a sudden sense that something is wrong. I look down at the medication, trying to figure out what's really going on. "What's in the pills?" I ask, narrowing my eyes at Dr. Warren. "I told you, just something to relax you."
"Then I don't need it," I say. "The last dose is still with me."
Her expression doesn't falter. "Take the pill, Sloan." My heart kicks up its beats, and I move back a step.
"No."
Dr. Warren removes her glasses, setting them beside her before folding her hands on the desk. "This is an important step in your recovery," she says. "You must take it, or we'll have to give it to you intravenously, and that's never pleasant."
"You'd force me?" I ask.
Even though I knew the situation all along, knew that I was in the program against my will, the idea of being physically restrained again is enough to make me panic.
"This is treatment," Dr. Warren says. "Think of it as your antibiotic. We need to treat the virus, and then you'll be free of it. Take the pill and go home, Sloan. It's as simple as that."
I consider arguing, fighting my way out. But there's nothing outside this office but the stark white halls of the program. And so I throw the doctor a hateful glare and lean forward to grab the yellow pill, swallowing it down before walking out. Chapter 4. It's nearly dinner time when Nurse Kell comes in to get me, saying that Dr. Warren has denied my request to eat in my room. The nurse helps me get dressed because I'm still groggy from my therapy session. I'm not sure I've had one clear moment since coming to the program. Nurse Kell holds my arm as we walk to the dining room, and the moving around actually helps me wake up a little. I try to think back on where the day went, but it's all a blur.
"Stop drugging me," I mumble. "It's too strong."
Nurse Kell looks concerned. "Oh, dear. Well, I'll certainly mention it to Dr. Francis. Maybe he can change your dose."
"Yeah," I say, pulling my arm from hers now that I can stand on my own. "I'm sure he will."
I turn away and head toward the serving line, looking over the different foods set out on trays. I don't want to eat. I don't want to talk. What I want is to take this tray and smash things with it. But I know that won't get me home any faster. I grab my food and head to a table in the corner and sit down. I want to go home. I just want to go home.
"Are you going to eat, or are you a starver?"
I look up to see the guy from the leisure room, the one who gave me a pretzel, standing at the end of my table with a tray.
"A starver?"
He shrugs. "It's pretty common around here." I glance around, noticing how several patients are just poking at their food with plastic spoons. It makes sense, I guess. With no will to live, why eat? "How can I resist a menu like this?" I murmur, looking down at my plate. There are chunks of meat and potatoes and gravy, along with a side of broccoli and orange jello. The guy laughs. "So you're funny? That's refreshing. Mind if I sit?" I don't really care either way, so I just shrug. The guy pulls out the chair across from me and then exhales heavily. "My name's Realm," he says.
"Realm?"
I look at him.
"It's Mike Realm, but everyone just calls me Realm."
"So can I call you Mike?"
Nope. My mouth twitches with a smile, but I immediately straighten my expression.
It's okay sometimes, Realm says, grabbing the roll off his tray and dipping it in the mashed potatoes. Your face won't break if you smile.
I look him over. His hair is crazy, but now I see it's styled that way. The scar on his neck stands out pink against his skin, and he still has shadows under his eyes like he's been inside too long. But he's cute. I'm sure under normal circumstances he is. If I smile, they'll think they got to me.
Realm pauses before answering.
And that's a bad thing? You want to stay here?
No, but I don't want them to win, either.
Ah, well, sweetness, you're gonna have to decide which you want more if you plan on going home.
He takes a bite, chewing slowly before talking to me again.
What's your name? He asks. I tried to steal your chart, but I got busted.
You were gonna steal it?
He nods as if he's proud.
My name's Sloane Barstow, but you can call me Sloane.
Can't call you Barstow?
Nope.
Okay.
Realm doesn't go on, and he finishes his food in silence while I pick at mine.
If you eat more, he says, wiping his mouth with a paper napkin, the drugs won't hit you as hard. I'm guessing they've got you pretty doped up, keeping you under control.
Seeing that I can't remember large chunks of time, you're probably right.
I take a bite of my now cold mashed potatoes.
What color pills do you take? He asks, leaning forward on his elbows.
Red before therapy, yellow after.
He nods and looks away, fidgeting with the hem of his scrubs. And then, I continue, there's what the handler gives me.
Realm looks up suddenly and tilts his head.
What? What do you mean?
I take a sip of my milk and flip my gaze over to where the dark-haired handler is standing, not looking at me for once.
The one by the door, I say behind my cup. He injects me with sedatives.
What? Realm says loud enough to earn a few stares. That asshole, what's he giving you?
I don't know exactly, I say, but it pretty much just knocks me out where I stand.
Realm ducks his head as he lowers his voice.
Are you being serious about this?
I scoff.
Why would I lie to you? To impress you with my tales of program misadventures? Yes, he injected me the day I came here and again in the hall after therapy. I haven't seen him today, at least not until now.
Sloane, Realm whispers, his dark eyes a different shade of worry. If he does that again, if he hurts you, you need to tell Dr. Warren.
I tried, but she...
Tell her I made you tell. She'll believe me.
Realm looks around then, noticing how others have finished their dinner and are headed out to watch TV or play cards.
I should go, he says like he doesn't want to. But remember, the card game invitation stands, okay?
I nod, having forgotten until he mentioned it. I watch as he leaves and notice that he goes out of his way to walk past the handler. When he passes, Realm looks sideways at him with a death stare, and for a moment I think he's going to get in a fight. But instead, the dark-haired handler, the one I'm scared of, pushes off from the wall and leaves the room. It's odd that Realm has that effect on him, but then again, maybe they've gotten into it before. Realm did seem pretty pissed when I mentioned the handler drugging me. I decide then that Realm is someone I should stay close to for a while. At least until I figure out how to navigate the program on my own.
You made it, Realm calls the minute I stop at their makeshift card table. The other guys stare up at me with eager eyes, but I pretend not to notice.
Realm pushes the kid nearest to him over and grabs a chair for me, sliding it in its place.
I was sitting there, the other guy says. And now you're not.
Realm collects all the cards, even though it seemed as if they were mid-hand. He starts reshuffling them. I sit next to him, feeling the stares of everyone at the table on me.
You let her join and not me?
A girl's voice cuts through the air. A redhead stands across from me, pointing her finger in my direction.
I thought you said no new members, Realm.
He tilts his head like he's trying to apologize, but I hear the guy next to me suppress a laugh.
My darling Tabitha, Realm begins. I've told you that we are very exclusive, but I promise if Sloane drops out, you can have her spot. She shoots me a vicious glare. Oh, I start to say as I stand, but Realm catches my thigh and eases me back down. When I look at Tabitha again, her eyes are angry. Whatever. You're a bunch of losers anyway. Nice chatting with you, Tabby, one of the guys at the table calls out as she walks away. Don't mind her, Realm says as he deals the hand. She's always bitchy, and no, she's not going to do something horrible to you later. She's going to forget. She always forgets, which is why we don't let her play. She can never remember the rules. Something about the coldness of this statement hits me, and I'm ready to run away. Realm must notice because he looks at me. It's a side effect of her suicide attempt. She took quick death, and even though they revived her, she has some brain damage. She's getting better, though, which is why she remembered me saying she can't play. But $20 says she's back here tomorrow asking why you can play and she can't. Enough whispering, the guy next to me says. Deal the cards. Realm smiles at him and then grabs a pretzel and balances it between his lips. Boys, this is Sloane. Hands off. They all laugh, shooting odd looks at Realm, and I wonder if I've somehow been claimed. But then Realm introduces me to Derek and Shep. They seem all right, although Shep's BO is a little strong next to me. He's 15 and Derek is 17. They've all been here close to 3 weeks, hoping to get out in 6. From what I can tell, they look pretty balanced, other than the fact that Shep is scratching absently at his thigh to the point where I think he's going to draw blood from underneath his scrubs. Realm offers me a pretzel, but I shake my head. So, what's the game? I ask as they pick up their cards. Realm smiles, not looking at me. What else? Bullshit. They all start laughing, and I remember the game from junior high. James, Brady, and I would sit around my kitchen table and play when my parents were out. Sometimes Lacey would come by and join us. James used to be the master at this game. He knew just how to act and would trick us all into calling bullshit, only to prove he was telling the truth. Thinking about that now, my cards shake in my hand. You know how to play? Realm asks. I nod, but can't answer. Bullshit, Sloane, James would yell out, slapping his hand on the table. You are the worst liar ever. He and Brady would laugh hysterically, and I wouldn't even bother flipping over my cards. I would just pick up the deck. It got to the point where I wouldn't try to lie, because James would always bust me. Every time. Your turn, Realm says, nudging my elbow. I glance at my hand and see that I'm supposed to come up with a 10. I have the 10 of clubs, but I pull out a 2 of diamonds and set it down. 1-10, I say. There's only the briefest moment of silence before Shep moves next to me. 1-jack, he says. Derek goes after him and the game continues, but I stare at my 10. There's no one to call me on my bullshit anymore. Chapter 5. It's Monday morning, a week and a half into the program, and Dr. Warren is sitting behind her desk, smiling kindly. Before the appointment, I'd tried to eat as much food as possible, hoping it would weaken the effect of the drugs. But my body has already begun to feel heavy, making me sag into the chair. Did you and James have a physical relationship? The doctor asks. I laugh. They don't have sports at my school. That's not what I mean, Sloane. Obviously, I know what she meant, but it isn't any of her business. I don't trust Dr. Warren. What's in the pills? I ask. She sighs. We go over this every time, and the answer is always the same. They're just something to relax you. I shake my head slowly. No, I say. It's more than that. It makes me talk to you, even if I don't want to. Dr. Warren watches me for a long moment, her eyes scanning me as if weighing out her answer. Let's get back to James, she says. Isn't that what you really want to talk about?
I wince at his name, reminded again of how much I miss him. The room is becoming transparent, my memories clearer than the world around me. I'd do anything to get back to him.
Yes, I say, giving up on my question. James and I had a physical relationship. He's the physical type.
I can gather that much.
I don't like the way she says it, as if without James I'd still be a virgin and at home with my parents right now baking cookies. I'm the one who wanted him, if you must know. He would have been fine with waiting. I pause at this. Well, he would have been fine with waiting a little longer, at least.
Were you careful?
I curl my lip. Yes, Mom. We always used a condom because we would never want to bring a kid into this messed up world.
Condoms aren't always...
Look, I say. I know the statistics, but I hardly have to worry about it now, do I?
My voice takes on a hard edge, and Dr. Warren glances away. I'm angry at the way she's portraying James, and I want to set her straight. I want to tell her that she could only dream of having someone like him in her life.
Perhaps we can talk about your first kiss.
Scoffing, I curl up in the chair. The drugs are loosening my clenched muscles, taking away my inhibitions.
Did you kiss him first? Dr. Warren asks, like she's my best friend.
No, I say, my heartbeat loud in my ears. I would have been too scared, too shy. James was so hot and cold then, I didn't know what to think.
Dr. Warren leans back in her chair, her arms folding over her chest as she starts to smile.
Tell me about it, Sloane. Tell me everything.
I realize that she's right. I do want to talk about James. And the minute I start, I'm ready to stay with him forever, even if only in my mind.
He would send me notes, I say. After he admitted his feelings, he would leave notes under my pillow. Letters that he was writing to me. At first it seemed more like he was yelling at me. He'd comment on how much he hated liking me, but then in the next line explain it was because he spent all of his time missing me. I was never so confused in my whole life. I never wrote back, but his letters kept coming, as if he was arguing with himself. Soon they became less angry, sweeter. He'd compliment something I wore to school, say how he thought about kissing me. I laugh. He talked a lot about kissing me. Said that maybe we could sneak off and see a movie, just the two of us.
Dr. Warren writes in the file. James sounds complicated.
He's the opposite, actually. He wants things simple, and me and him dating, that complicated everything.
How long did the letters go on?
Almost every day for about a month. But after a few weeks of them, I started to stay in the same room with him. We would joke and actually make eye contact again. Brady said he was glad that I was done acting weird, and I felt like he knew. That he had to see the way James and I looked at each other.
The first time James and I kissed, I say, he told me that from then on he'd always have to kiss me. Just me. I felt so special, so loved. I replayed that moment in my head nonstop. But then I started to worry that maybe I'd read too much into the kiss. I was so afraid of losing him, and he wasn't even mine yet. A week later, James came by to pick up me and Brady for a day at the river, but my brother backed out at the last minute, said he had a date, but that James and I should go ahead. We'd barely waited for him to leave the room before we took off, but I was nervous. James hadn't mentioned the kiss, and I hadn't gotten any more letters. James drove us out there, and we didn't speak on the way. I was wearing my bathing suit under a t-shirt and shorts, even though I didn't plan to go in the water. It was like we were pretending to still go through the motions of a normal Saturday. When we got there, James laid out a beach blanket for us, dropped a few snacks from his backpack on it, and then stripped to his suit. He went swimming, leaving me there. But why did he act so cold when he'd already kissed you? Dr. Warren asks.
I meet her eyes. James, as strong as he is, has serious abandonment issues. When he was 8, his mother left him in her car at the train station. I swallow hard, feeling his pain. She never came back. Instead, someone had heard him crying, called the police. After that, I'm not sure he'd trust anyone. Only me and Brady. I sniffle. And Brady failed him, too. Dr. Warren nods as if she understands, but I don't think she does. No one understands James except me. And what happened at the river that day? She asks softly.
While James was in the water, I start again, I considered hiding his clothes, a little joke to put us in a good mood, something to break the awkward silence. So I grabbed his shorts and stood, ready to run off with them. But then something fell out of his pocket and landed in the grass.
What was it? Dr. Warren asks, looking riveted.
A ring. A stupid plastic ring with sparkles. I'd held it in my hands, wondering what he was doing with it. I sat back down on the blanket and examined it, jealous about the girl it must have belonged to. Then I felt a drip of water and saw James standing above me, running a towel over his hair. I let the memory unfold as Dr. Warren listens, my words tumbling out without my permission. Inside, I can see it all. I can remember every second.
What do you have? James asked. When he saw the ring, he tossed his towel aside. You going through my pockets, Sloane?
No, I... But I stopped, feeling jealous. Whose ring is this?
James laughed and then sat down next to me, his thigh pressed against mine as he reached to pluck the ring from my hand. You shouldn't snoop, he murmured.
You're not going to answer?
He looked sideways. It's for you, stupid, he said with a smile. I got it for you.
I stared at him, trying to decide if he was telling the truth, but then he took the ring from my hand and slid it onto my finger. James leaned forward, pausing when he got really close to me.
Can we kiss now? He asked. Is that okay?
I close my eyes as I sit across from Dr. Warren, remembering how warm James's mouth was on mine, how his tongue touched my lips before I opened them, letting him in. Letting him lay me back on the blanket as his mouth found mine, again and again, always gentle, yet urgent. I'll never feel that passion from James again. I'll never be that girl again. Tears start to stream down my cheeks as I cry, missing James, missing myself. I wish everything could just go back to the way it was, but instead I'm slowly losing everything. I'm witnessing my own death.
Dr. Warren doesn't say anything, but she hands me the yellow pill. I take it gratefully, wanting to sleep, wanting to feel better, but never wanting to forget. Wakey, wakey, a voice whispers in my ear. My eyelids feel heavy as I try to lift them, and when I turn to the voice, I feel warm breath on my face. You've been out too long, Miss Barstow. They asked me to come retrieve you. My eyes fly open, and I see the dark-haired handler leaning over my bed. I reach out to push him away, but he catches my wrists. Don't fight, he soothes. I'm not going to hurt you. I only like the willing. I yank my arm from his, accidentally hitting myself in the mouth. I wince and touch at my lip, seeing a bit of blood there. The handler tisks. You should be more careful. He walks over to my closet and pulls out a clean pair of scrubs and my robe, laying it over the bed. Help you get dressed?
Hell no, I say, sitting up in the bed, and I'm pretty sure this is sexual harassment.
He smiles.
How so?
I'm not sure if making my skin crawl is enough of a reason to file charges, but I won't mind taking the chance.
Get out, or I'll call Nurse Kell, I say, motioning to the door. The handler shrugs. If you want. He starts walking that way and then stops, looking back at me. But what if I can offer you something? I don't want anything from you. Not even a memory? I pause, but then push back the blankets to climb out of the bed. What do you mean? The handler beams under my attention. If I can save you a memory, something you could take out of here with you, would it be worth it? I swallow down the sick feeling in my stomach. Would what be worth it? His eyes narrow deviously then, scanning over my body. I instinctively fold my arms over my chest and step back from him. Being friends, he says, but the tone is nothing short of sinister. Just leave, I snap, pointing behind him. He nods, not looking fazed in the least. You think about it, Sloane. If you change your mind, you know where to find me. Drop dead. He opens the door, but as he walks out, he says nonchalantly, Wonder how much you've lost already. And then he's gone. I stand there, staring at the closed door. What I've lost? I look suddenly to my hand, but the finger is naked. The purple heart ring that I always wear is at home in my mattress. I wouldn't forget that. James gave it to me when... I stop, thinking. A spike of fear rushes over me. He gave it when... Oh, God. I cover my mouth, realizing for the first time that a memory is gone. I stumble back against my bed, my mind racing over everything I can think of. The ring. How did I get the ring? There's a quick knock at the door. I'm sure it's the handler, so I yell out for him to go away. The door opens and Dr. Francis is standing there, his eyebrows pulled together. Sloane, he says carefully, Roger said he couldn't get you to come out of your room. Is something the matter? Yes, there is so much the matter that I wouldn't know where to start. But I can't turn in Roger for being a creep. Not yet. Not in case he can help me. I clear my throat and straighten, putting on a calm exterior. Let's see if Dr. Francis can call bullshit. He woke me up and I was cranky, I say. I think my medication is too strong. Dr. Francis purses his lips as if thinking this over. Maybe you just need to get used to the dosage. Maybe, I respond, my voice bitter. He nods then, stepping away from the door. It's time for lunch, and the staff is concerned that you're not eating enough. Nurse Kell tells me you've lost 4 pounds since arriving. No fast food, I respond. Bring on the chicken nuggets, and I'll eat the hell out of them. He laughs then, looking relieved that I can make a lame joke after all. I'll see what I can do, he says, and I'll adjust your medication dosage. We want you to feel comfortable. I know this is a difficult transition. I smile, clenching my teeth so hard I'm afraid they'll break. A difficult transition? Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Dr. Francis waits as I go in the bathroom and change into my clean scrubs, wrapping my robe tightly around me. I still try to search my mind for the story of the ring, but I know it's gone. I've lost a piece of James, and it's so devastating that I have to stare at my reflection for nearly a minute before I can pull myself together. As I head out behind the doctor into the hallway, I keep my mind trained on a single thought, holding it close to me. James. 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 Chapter 6. After time in the examination room with Dr. Francis, just a basic physical and blood test to make sure I'm taking my meds, I'm sent to lunch, where I sit alone in the corner. I drink some juice and take bites from an apple, but don't bother with anything else. I'm too upset about the ring. When I leave and find myself in the mostly deserted leisure room, I sit again at the window and stare out. I continually take cautious glances around for Roger, wondering when his slimy self will show up, asking for a trade. Wondering if I could say no when it means keeping a part of myself.
Psst. I look over my shoulder and see Realm by the door, holding something behind his back. No one else notices him, and I feel myself smile.
Come here, he mouths.
I'm not sure I should go, but the room is quiet and I'm bored. I get up to find out what he's doing. Realm grins madly when I approach and I follow him into the hall.
Wait here, he says, poking his head around the corner toward the nurse's station.
What's behind your back? I ask, trying to look over his shoulder between him and the wall.
Hey, hey, sweetness, he says, glaring at me. No peeking.
He checks one more time and then does some weird hand signals like we're in the military.
What?
I ask.
Run!
He rushes ahead of me and we dash down the hall and through the stairwell door. He eases it shut, and I stand there, sort of shocked.
That was close, he says.
What are we doing?
Hiding out. I have contraband.
But if they find us,
they won't. No rounds for another 20 minutes. Sit.
He points to the stairs behind me. Since I've already broken the rules by coming out here, I sit down on the concrete, crossing my legs as I stare at him.
Now will you show me what you have behind your back?
He smiles broadly and pulls out a white bag, the logo on the side unmistakable.
No way.
A little birdie told me you wanted chicken nuggets.
Realm, how did you—
Shh, he says, looking toward the door.
This isn't on the menu, so if they see it, they'll take it. Now do you want it or not?
My brother and I used to beg our parents for McDonald's every Saturday. We'd have to clean our rooms, do the dishes, all sorts of chores that we totally blew off, knowing our parents would get it anyway because my father was hooked on the fries. And here in this stairwell, I've never been so happy to see greasy food, almost like a little piece of home, which I guess is sad in a way. Realm comes to sit next to me, reaching in the bag to take out a napkin which he lays on the stair. He pulls out a box of McNuggets, folding back the cardboard and then dumping some fries in the top. I immediately dive in, even though I have a ton of questions.
How did you get this?
The food is a little cold, but still so good. Better than the mashed and bland starches we've been getting here.
I have a friend who has a friend.
He smiles and puts a fry into his mouth.
What? Realm, can you get us outside?
I ask. My mind suddenly flooded with dreams of escape. He widens his eyes at my reaction.
No, he says. Of course not. My charms only go so far, and sweet-talking my way into some drive-thru isn't the same as a jailbreak. I just thought...
He looks down.
Shit, Sloane, I thought this would cheer you up.
I feel horrible and ungrateful, and I reach out to touch his hand to get his attention.
Sorry, I say. This is awesome, and it does cheer me up.
I force a wide, overly enthusiastic grin.
See?
Realm chuckles, a soft smile staying on his lips as we go back to eating.
So, how did you know about the chicken nuggets? I ask, pulling my leg underneath me and settling in.
Finally got my hands on your chart. Imagine my surprise when Dr. Francis noted that you were craving them.
Did you really tell him that?
Yes. I laugh and slap his shoulder.
But you can't read my chart.
I can, but I definitely shouldn't. You won't tell on me, will you? Are you a rat, Sloane?
He looks at me suspiciously.
I'm not going to sell you out, but you have to tell me what you read.
He stiffens at this and then scratches his chin.
Not much. A wave of sickness washes over me.
You're lying.
Realm's eyes meet mine.
Who's James?
The tender way he asks makes me nearly fall apart. How can I even explain who James is to me?
He was everything, I say.
And now he's nothing.
I close my eyes. I'm sorry, I hear Realm say, feeling him touch my knee. I shouldn't have brought it up. I sniffle and wipe away the tears just as they start to brim over.
It's okay, I say. I've just had a bad day, and
I reminded you how much life sucks. I really am sorry.
Don't be, I whisper. James is my boyfriend, but
I stop, not wanting to admit that James didn't remember me, as if it proves that I didn't mean that much to him.
He was in the program, too, Realm says quietly. It's in your file.
I nod. They came and got me about a week after he returned.
Did he know you? Realm asks, sounding anxious.
No. Saying it is like a punch in the gut. Realm doesn't try to say it's okay or offer any hopes of James remembering. Instead, he points to the last McNugget.
You gonna eat that? He asks.
I stare at him.
You just made me cry and now you want my food?
He shrugs.
I just asked if you were going to eat it.
I laugh then, pushing the box in his direction. It's all yours. I think I might puke from eating so fast. He pauses with the food halfway to his mouth.
Thanks for oversharing, Sloane.
He eats the chicken anyway, and then we pick through the fries before cleaning up, the grease clinging to my fingers. But it's not gross. It's almost a relief compared to how scrubbed and antiseptic I feel in this facility.
Hold up, Realm says, handing me the bag. He pulls the door open and then puts his eye to the crack. All clear.
He motions me forward, and we sneak back inside, giggling as we run down the hallway. We're almost back to the leisure room when we see Nurse Kell turn the corner and spot us. Realm instantly grabs the McDonald's bag and tosses it into an empty room, the trash sliding under a bed.
Where have you two been? Nurse Kell asks.
Just giving her the tour, Realm says, putting his arm around me as if we're best friends.
It occurs to me that he is my best friend, at least in here. Nurse Kell eyes us for another second longer, and then nods toward the leisure room.
All right, then, she says. The boys are looking for you, Michael. You're late for your card game.
He thanks her, and we start heading off when Nurse Kell calls me back.
For you, she says, holding out a Dixie cup. I peek inside and see a bright yellow pill.
Why? I feel fine.
Doctor's orders, dear.
She hands me a cup of water, and I take the pill, anger starting to well up inside me again.
I thought he was going to lower my dosage, I snap at her. Guess not, huh?
Go back to your friends now, Sloane.
She smiles and brushes my hair off my shoulder.
But I push her hand away and go into the leisure room.
Where'd you go?
Realm asks when I sit at the table with him and the guys. They'd already dealt me in, and I pick up my cards.
Nurse Kell wanted to make sure I stayed obedient, I tell him.
I like the sound of that, Derek says, and they start laughing.
Realm just eyes me with concern.
Hey!
A voice cuts through the air, and I turn to see Tabitha making her way over, her red hair pulled into a messy knot on top of her head.
Realm, I thought you said you weren't letting anyone else play.
He sighs, but looks up at her sweetly.
Hello, Tabitha. I'm sorry, but the table is full.
Then why does she get to join? That's not fair, Realm. You promised.
Next time, okay? He smiles at her.
She shoots a hateful look in my direction and then nods sadly before stumbling away. The guys don't joke this time and instead start playing the round. She just had this conversation, and yet she comes back like part of her brain is broken. She took quick death, and I wonder if Miller had survived if he'd... A thick, choking grief envelops me at the thought of my friend. My Miller, so lost and alone, even though we were right there. I'll never see him again. There's a soft touch on my wrist.
You're crying, Realm whispers.
Startled, I look at him while he takes a cautious glance around at the nurses. He reaches to swipe under my eye with his shirt sleeve and then calls bullshit to no one in particular just to distract them. They all start laughing and sifting through the cards, but I watch Realm, grateful. We go back to playing, but as the minutes tick by, my reflexes get slower. Soon they're yelling at me to throw down a card, and I have to fold my hand and step out. Realm stands when I do. "You don't look well," he says.
"Tired. Nurse Kel gave me a pill and..."
"Wait, that's what happened in the hall? Why would she give it now?"
"I don't know."
Realm puts his arm on mine and steadies me against him. I don't argue. I'm starting to feel disoriented, and the prospect of getting all the way to my room seems impossible. "I'll be back, guys," Realm says, tossing his cards down. They grumble something I can't hear, and then Realm is easing me away. "Can I walk you home?" he asks, joking. I don't respond, and instead hold on to his elbow as he leads us out. Once we're in the hall, Realm slides his arm over my shoulder. "It's okay," he whispers. "I'll get you back safely." The hall seems to tilt in front of me, but at the other end I think I see someone. I think I see Roger. I stagger back and grab a handful of Realm's shirt.
"Don't let him near me like this," I beg.
"Who?" Realm shoots a glance in Roger's direction and then freezes. "What's wrong? Did something happen?" Roger looks at us, and I'm suddenly scared that he'll come for me now, when I'm too weak to fight back. I nearly stumble over my own feet.
"Just get me out of here," I say.
Realm rushes me in the other direction, but his eyes are dark when he looks back over his shoulder at Roger. When I'm finally in a private room, it takes a second for me to realize it's not mine. Everything is so foggy.
"Where am I?" I ask.
"My room," Realm says. "Hope that's okay." He keeps his head out the door, looking around as if he's keeping watch. I stagger toward his bed. "I can take you back to yours when you wake up. You look like you're about to crash hard," Realm adds. I don't argue about being in his room as I climb onto his bed, laying my head on the pillow with a sigh. My eyes are already closed when Realm comes to cover me with his blankets, tucking them carefully around me. "I'll be back later, okay?" he says.
"Mm-hmm."
He chuckles softly, and I feel a touch on my forehead. A kiss, I think. And then he leaves to let me sleep off the medication, and I try not to worry about what, or who, will be waiting for me when I get up. Chapter 7. I wake up to the sound of shouts coming from the hallway. I sit up suddenly, regretting it the moment I do because it feels like my brain might fall out. Pain pulses in my temples as I try to get my bearings and look around the unfamiliar room.
"Michael!" I hear what sounds like Nurse Kel yell. "Get off him!"
"Stay away from her, or I swear to God I'll kill you myself." I gasp, sure that's Realm's voice. I climb quickly out of the bed and go to the door, opening it just a crack to look out the way Realm does. Halfway down the hall, Realm has got his forearm to Roger's throat, pinning him to the wall. But Roger isn't saying anything. He's just staring back at Realm as if challenging him.
"Michael,"
Nurse Kel says again, only softer. She touches Realm's arm, and he suddenly drops it, making Roger stumble to the floor. For a minute, I think Realm might kick him, but instead he steps back with obvious restraint. I open the door more, and it creaks, making all of them look over at me. When Realm turns in my direction, I see that one of his eyes is puffed up. Nurse Kel immediately bristles.
"Sloane," she says, "return to your room."
Then she takes Realm roughly by the elbow.
"We need to see Dr. Warren now," she hisses.
Realm shrugs at me, almost like an apology, and then lets himself be led down the hall. My heart pounds in my chest as it fills with worry. What if they send him away? Hurt him? Realm is my only friend, and what if they take him from me too? Just then, I notice Roger still sitting on the floor. When my eyes meet his, he winks, and then gets up to hobble away. I wait in the dining room, not touching my food, as I sit by myself. They haven't brought Realm back yet, and I'm completely panicking. I haven't told anyone what I saw, but I heard Derek and the other guy say that Realm punched out a handler, and now he's getting shipped off to another facility. My fingers shake as I try to eat a spoonful of Jell-O.
"Can I sit with you?" Tabitha asks, motioning to the empty chair across from me.
"Oh, sure." It's a chance to see her up close for the first time. She has dyed red hair, but from the roots, I imagine it's naturally dark. Her skin is pale, and her eyes are a light hazel. She's pretty in a really emo sort of way. She sort of reminds me of Lacey, or at least, the old Lacey.
"I see your bandage," she says, taking the first bite of her food. "Did you try to slit your wrists?"
"Sort of, but I wasn't trying to kill myself. I was just pissed." She laughs.
"Yeah, right. So where's Realm?" she asks, and I suspect it was her real question from the beginning. "He said I could play cards with him today." "Oh," she pauses, smiling. "Maybe he'll let you play too. He's pretty nice. Cute too, right?"
I stare at her, trying to see if there are any obvious signs of damage. I've never heard of anyone surviving quick death before. Lacey had thought about taking it. She wanted Miller to take it with her.
"Wait, Miller. What happened to Miller?" "What's that look? You don't think he's hot?"
Tabitha is grinning from ear to ear, but I don't answer her and instead look down toward my tray. What the hell happened to Miller? In my mind, it's like he's there and suddenly gone.
"Oh my God," I say. "I can't remember."
"Are you okay?" Tabitha asks, sounding frightened. "Should I get the nurse?"
"No,"
I say quickly. I stretch my hand out and cover hers.
"They're taking my memories," I whisper to her. "They're erasing me."
She blinks quickly as if she completely understands, but then her eyes glaze over.
"Don't talk like that," she says pleasantly, "or you're going to get us both thrown into a new facility to start over."
Tabitha abruptly stands, taking her tray with her, and walks away. My hand feels cold on the white table, and I'm shaking. First the ring, and now Miller. What else is missing that I can't find? What's happening to me? And suddenly, I know. I know what I have to do if I plan to make it through this. I leave my tray on the table and walk toward the exit doors. I'm almost there when an older handler stops me.
"Where are you going?" he asks.
"Bathroom."
"There's a bathroom here."
He motions toward the back of the room. I try to think fast.
"No tampons in there."
He stares me down as if he can tell I'm menstruating just by looking at me, and then he waves me out.
"Hurry up," he says before going back to monitoring the room.
I rush out into the hall, not sure where I'll find him. Desperation is making tears sting my eyes, but I blink them back. I need to be stronger. I need to save myself. It's when I pass the supply closet that I see him and skid to a stop, sliding in my slipper socks. Disgust twists in my stomach as I watch him counting off rolls of toilet paper and then marking the number on a clipboard. When he notices me, he smiles.
"Hello, Ms. Barstow. Can I help you with something?"
"Yes, Roger." I nearly choke on his name.
"I guess you can."
Roger locks up the supply closet and leads me back to my room, smiling the entire way, even humming a song. I can barely push myself forward, but I have no choice. The program has given me no choice but to hold on to what I can. Roger opens my door and steps aside for me to walk in. When I pass him, I smell the strong scent of mints, and I know I'll never be able to taste peppermint again without gagging.
I pause just inside the room, not looking at the bed. When Roger shuts the door and locks it, I cross my arms over my chest. First, tell me what's going to happen to Realm. Roger chuckles.
Oh, I'm sure Michael Realm will be just fine. He has a habit of getting out of things the rest of you are punished for.
I furrow my brow. What does that mean?
It means he'll be back soon. Now I hope this isn't why you took me aside, Sloane.
He cocks his head as if truly curious. I'm terrified. How do I know you can really give me my memories?
I can't give you back your memories, he says, almost apologetically. What I can do is let you hold on to select memories, block them from the antigens.
Antigens?
The little yellow pill you take, he says. It seeks out your memories, the ones that are targeted by Dr. Warren. First, you take the red, a sort of truth serum, if you will, and while you talk, it acts like a dye, attaching itself to the thoughts. Then you take the yellow to wipe them all away. It's not exact, but soon you'll have less and less to sort through, and they'll be easier to pinpoint.
The pills. They're eating my memories. Dr. Warren said they were just to relax me, but she lied. What else has she lied about? How can you help? I ask Roger. What can you do to stop them from erasing me? He reaches into his pocket and opens a small container. He pinches out a small purple pill.
This can save one stray thought, one thing you don't want to lose. Of course, it might make you sick, but it could be worth the risk. And if you tell Dr. Warren about this, they'll strip your mind completely. So if you take it, know that this has to stay between us.
I look at the little pill he holds up, not sure if it can be true. If he's just lying to do something horrible to me. And what do you want in exchange? I ask, fearing the answer. He smiles then, the skin crinkling around his eyes.
I'm not a monster, Sloane. Maybe all I want is a kiss. He pauses. This time.
Bartering for sex? I try to sound appalled, but I knew it would come to this. I knew, and I still asked him here. I had just been hoping for a different answer.
Course not, he says. Like I said, a kiss. A little affection. Affection is good for your therapy, Sloane. Did they not tell you that? In fact, I think you've already found that out yourself.
I know he's talking about Realm, but I don't bother responding. He thinks Realm and I are in a relationship, but that will never happen. I'm going back to James. I reach out and take the pill from Roger's hands, examining it.
How does it work? You'll have to concentrate on a single memory. Then you swallow the pill and hold the thought. Don't mix the memory with anything else or widen the scope, otherwise it won't be clear in your head.
I look between the pill and the handler, my throat dry and my hands clammy. It's just a kiss, but it's like he's asking me to jump off a bridge. I can't move any closer to him, and I feel my resolve start to fade.
What's it worth to you, Sloane? He asks softly. What's your past worth?
And with that, a few tears leak out. I think of James, Brady, and Miller. The part of me that won't survive the program. Maybe this one pill can change the outcome. Maybe it can save me.
Just one kiss, I tell him.
Roger laughs.
Yes, but I say how long. And it has to be good, Sloane. I want to feel your passion.
I wipe hard at my face, pulling the skin roughly until it hurts. I slip the pill into the pocket of my robe and take an unsteady step forward. I look Roger straight in the eyes.
Make no mistake, I whisper. I hate you.
He smiles.
I like a challenge.
He grabs me roughly, pinching my upper arm as he pulls me against him, his other arm snaking around me. His mouth is on mine, wet and strong. I try to turn away at first, but he just squeezes harder, and I can feel how turned on he is as he presses against me. I whimper and try to move back as his tongue licks my lips. "Make me believe it," he breathes, "or I take the pill back." He kisses me again, and this time I let his tongue inside my mouth. Peppermint coats my lips, and I can't stand the taste. I can't stand another second of it. Tears continue to trickle down my cheeks as his hand touches my ass, holding me tight against him. His other hand grips the back of my neck and tilts it so he can kiss me there. "You taste delicious," he says into my skin. I try to pretend it's James, but Roger's touch is too aggressive. James would never touch me like this. James would never do this to me. Soon, I'm sobbing, and Roger comes to kiss me once more, his hand sliding under my shirt. And finally, I snap and bring my knee up, missing his balls but connecting with his thigh. He yelps and jumps back. But as I stand there in front of him, soft cries still escaping my lips, he laughs. "Oh, come on, Sloane," he says coldly. "It wasn't that bad. Other girls trade much more." "Get out," I manage to say, and I back against the footboard of my bed. "Get out," I scream. He flinches and then looks behind him at the door. "Fine," he says, putting up his hand. "But understand, this is between us. If you tell..." "I know." I can't stop crying. I spit out the taste of him right there on the linoleum tile, and he looks at it, surprised that I'm even upset. "Next dose is for bare skin," he warns, "and I suggest you get a hold of yourself, because the crying doesn't really work for me." With that, he turns and leaves, shutting the door behind him.
Chapter 8. When the tears have dried, I'm in my bed, lying under the covers. I know it won't be long before they come looking for me, wondering where I am. But I can't go back to the dining hall because my body won't stop shaking. I take the pill out of my pocket and stare at it. It might not even work, but I have to try. I have to fight. This is my last chance to keep from losing everything. I put the pill in my mouth and swallow it dry, coughing once when it gets stuck, but then getting it down. I know what I have to remember. It's not romantic. It's not something cherished. But I hope it'll lead to some answers when I get out. Next pill, I'll capture a perfect memory with James. For now, I imagine the picture of him and Brady, the ring, the things I hid in my mattress so that I could find them when I got back. I know now that everything that happened at my house that day will be erased from my memory, so I might never look for the items. This is the only way. I focus on the picture. James's face, his chest bare, as his arm is carelessly around my brother's shoulders. Brady's laugh and the river rolling through the background. The ring, the purple, sparkly, heart-shaped ring that James gave me, even if I can't remember when. But I used to wear it all the time, so it must have been special. They're all in the mattress, these things that will lead us back together. So I hold the memory tightly to me as I close my eyes. Only a few minutes have passed when I'm suddenly ravaged by pain. I cry out, feeling like a hammer just hit me in the back of the head. I lean forward and vomit over the side of my bed, my stomach twisting and my throat burning. I press my hands to my head as if it can stop the throbbing there. The room spins, and I lie back against the pillow, my eyes squeezed shut. I try to control my breathing, and once again think of the ring and the picture hidden in my bed.
It feels like a lifetime of agony, but it's probably been less than 5 minutes when I'm finally able to open my eyes again. My stomach is twisted, and I know I'll have to clean up the puke before Nurse Kell comes for me. Slowly, I slide out of bed, careful to step around the mess and then clean it up with toilet paper, flushing it away. My breath comes out in jagged gasps, like I might get sick again at any moment. There is a sour taste in my mouth, but behind that is peppermint. I lean over the toilet and gag again. When I walk into the now half-empty dining room, I'm sure I look bad. I feel hungover, my eyes are bloodshot, and my greasy hair is pulled back into a ponytail. But people don't seem to notice, and it occurs to me that it's better not to be pretty here. It's better to go unnoticed. I find where I left my tray and pretend to pick at the roll still on my plate. I drink the apple juice, anything to mask the flavors lingering in my mouth. Tabitha's staring at me from across the room as if she's studying me, but soon she lowers her gaze. I wonder if Roger has offered her the pill. I want to ask her, but how can I ask something like that? And what if he hasn't? She could turn me in and get me sent away for longer. I miss Realm. I hope that Roger was telling me the truth when he said that Realm would come back soon. What if they're hurting him? Oh, God, what if they're erasing me from his memory? Just then I see Nurse Kell walk into the room, and I jump up to go talk to her. She looks alarmed, and then pleased that I sought her out. Hello, Sloane, honey, are you feeling better? Yes, but is Realm okay? She smiles, reminding me again of a grandmother. Michael Realm is just fine. He's cooling off with Dr. Warren right now. He won't be sleeping in the wards tonight, I'm afraid, but I hope he'll rejoin us tomorrow. I almost burst out crying. Will he remember me? I ask in a small voice. Nurse Kell shakes her head as if it's a silly question. Of course. Why wouldn't he? I let out a held breath, but I still can't stand it. How they all act as if there's nothing wrong going on here, as if they're not erasing our minds. Thank you, is all I can manage as I head out of the room and into the hallway. I skip out on the card game and sit in my room playing solitaire instead, with a pack of cards Nurse Kell lent me. I listen to the hall, hoping to hear Realm's laugh. I dread seeing Roger walk by, or worse, stop in. But the place is quiet. I fall asleep easily, even without swallowing the pills Nurse Kell brings me. When I wake up, I have an early morning appointment with Dr. Warren, but I take the long way around and go by Realm's room. He's still not back. I go inside Dr. Warren's office, and she beams like she's thrilled to see me. Sloane, she says, you're looking well today. I know she's lying, because I haven't showered or even bothered checking my reflection. I did take a hot washcloth and wipe my neck to clean everywhere that Roger's mouth touched me. I scrubbed it so raw that it left a rash on my skin. I see Dr. Warren's eyes flick to the spot, but she doesn't mention it. Before we start, she slides the cup with the red pill toward me, but I shake my head. I don't need it, thank you. She smiles. You will take the pill, Sloane. We've already been over this. I know from what Roger told me that the pill helps isolate memories, highlights them to be taken later. I don't want to put it in my mouth. I want to crush it under my socked heel. Have we? I say. Maybe I don't remember. Dr. Warren's jaw tightens. Follow procedures if you want to be released. I'm not taking it, I shoot back. What should be doctorly advice from her feels more like a threat. My anger starts to bubble over. Last chance, she says, leveling her gaze on mine. I lean toward her.
I'm not taking the fucking pill, okay?
Dr. Warren doesn't even flinch. She sits back calmly in her leather chair.
Marilyn, she calls behind me. A large woman in a white nurse's uniform stalks in, a needle poised in her hand. I barely have time to register what's going on before I feel it pierce the skin on my upper arm.
What is this? I yell, jumping up from the chair.
Calm down, Dr. Warren soothes, not even looking a little sorry. It's the same dose, but I told you, you will take the medication one way or another. Voluntarily is just the least painful. Dr. Warren looks at the nurse. Get the other needle ready for after the session. I stand there, clutching my arm and feeling helpless. I'm so violated, so angry, that I think I might completely lose it right now.
Today, Dr. Warren says, ignoring my obvious fury, I want to talk about you and James after your brother's death, how you became so codependent.
We're not codependent, you bitch. We love each other.
She looks me over thoughtfully, content to wait until I'm fully compliant. Already, I can feel the drug coursing through my veins, and I sway on my feet, knowing it won't be long until I'm at its mercy, telling her all of my secrets. When I collapse back into the chair, my limbs light and my head hazy, I start talking.
James and I dated secretly for 2 months, I say, my temple resting against the fabric. It was tough keeping it from Brady. James slept over all the time, and each night he'd slip out of Brady's room at 3 a.m. and climb into my bed. We'd kiss and whisper, James always making me laugh. I didn't want to hide how I felt about him, but I knew it wouldn't go over well. Not with Brady, not with our parents. So we spent time like that, lying in each other's arms and talking about leaving Oregon.
Were you having sex? Dr. Warren asks, making notes in her file.
No, I mean, we could have, I guess, but we didn't. I smile to myself. We just made out a whole lot. I let my eyes close, feeling distant. After Brady died, James was torn up with guilt. I was worse. If I'd known how to swim, maybe I could have saved him. He was my brother, and I didn't even see the signs. I wondered if it was because I was too involved with James, if he was too involved with me. For that first week, James and I stayed far away from each other. I couldn't even look at him.
What changed?
After my brother was buried and my house was filled with my mother's sobs and my father's drinking, my parents turned their attention to me. They were worried I was depressed too, but they couldn't see it was just grief. My brother was my best friend, and I wanted him back. I paused then, swallowing hard. But he was never going to come back. He was never going to take me to the top of the Ferris wheel again. He would never teach me how to swim.
Dr. Warren hands me a tissue, and I wipe my eyes, even though I'm not sure if I'm crying. I can't feel anything on my cheeks. I'm numb.
And then one afternoon, I start again. I found my mother in Brady's room, trying to pack up his clothes, and I lost it. I couldn't stand the thought of his things in a box like he was in. I told her I hated her. I lower my head. I'm not proud of it, but I'd been caught up in my parents' emotional wake, and I needed my own time to grieve. They wouldn't let me grieve. The next day, I found a pamphlet for the program near the phone, and I knew I couldn't ever let them see me cry again. And I knew I had to talk to James because Brady told us to take care of each other. At school, I was overwhelmed with the interviews, the therapy, the monitoring. I felt so alone, I thought that maybe I was becoming ill. But later that week, I walked out of class to find James standing at the lockers, as if he'd been waiting there all along.
and I realized how much I'd missed him. He didn't hesitate when he saw me. He stomped right across the floor and picked me up in a hug, smashing me to him. I wanted to cry, but I couldn't.
There are healthy forms of showing emotion, Dr. Warren says. You could have talked to the counselors.
I stare at her, wondering if she's serious, if she doesn't know the extremes the outside world has gone to in order to try to protect us.
Believe what you want, I tell her. But the handlers were looking for any excuse to flag us. All we could feel was the pressure of it.
I turn away, thinking again about how relieved I was to see that James was okay. That day, he gave me a ride home, and then the next. It started to feel like the only time we were normal was when we were together. We would tuck ourselves away where we could cry and no one else could see us. As the weeks passed, we started to talk about other things, about leaving town again, just me and him, about being together forever. My chest swells as I remember our first time, how scared I was. We were camping, snuggling on a blanket next to the warm fire. I was so in love with him. I close my eyes now and think about how James kissed my neck, his mouth hot, his hands gentle on my skin. Soon he was kissing me passionately, seeming to want me more than ever before. His knee moved between my legs, and I pulled his shirt over his head when he stopped, gasping for breath. Wait, he said. We shouldn't. His blue eyes were heavy-lidded, filled with desire. Lust. I pulled him down and kissed him again, working at his belt, even when he told me again that we didn't have to. He'd brought protection, which showed me he'd at least considered it could happen. And we used it, just like we always would after. I open my eyes and see Dr. Warren waiting for the story. I wish I didn't have to tell her anything, but I just can't stop. I hate that I can't stop because I know what it means. She's going to steal this moment away from me, and the thought is unbearable. The night James and I first had sex, I say, it wasn't about our hormones. It was desperate, sad, even a little painful. And then it was beautiful and hopeful. It was a promise we made to each other that we would protect each other, take care of each other. James told me he loved me and that he would never let anything happen to me. I promised the same. I choke on my words. But I lied. I didn't protect him. I tried so hard, but I wasn't strong enough. They came and they took him, and now he doesn't love me anymore. I cover my face and start sobbing, realizing how much it hurts to be alive, how I don't want to live with the loss. I have nothing, I say through my hands. I'm all alone now.
You're not, Dr. Warren says. I'm not saying James is a bad guy, neither is Brady or Miller or Lacey. But they're the reason you're really here. They were infected, Sloane. They infected you, and now you have to get better. Just like a cancer, we have to cut out what's making you sick. I look at her, still hating her, but with the pain raging in my chest, maybe a little less so. Here, she offers the yellow pill. Take it. Empower yourself, sweetheart. It'll make everything right. I consider her offer. Then I think of Roger's disgusting mouth on mine. I think of how his purple pill will let me hold on to some of my memories. So instead, I look at Dr. Warren and say, "Go to hell." And then someone grabs me, and I feel a pinch in my arm.
Chapter 9. Sloane, a voice whispers. My eyes flip open, and I start to scream as I see a figure next to my bed.
Realm says, quickly putting his finger to his lips. He shoots a cautious look at the door, and I force myself to quiet down.
You scared the hell out of me, I whisper, and then lean closer so that I can see him better in the dim room. The only light comes from the moon outside the sealed window. I pause when he comes into focus.
Your eye.
Realm has a black eye that looks like it might still hurt.
It's fine, he says, waving me off. I just wanted to make sure you were okay. Didn't mean to leave so abruptly.
He grins, but he's checking me over, making sure I'm all right.
It was very rude, I offer. Then I sit up and wrap my arms around his neck. He chuckles and holds me gently, almost like he's embarrassed that we're in an embrace.
I was so lonely, I say. Realm reaches to smooth back my hair.
Sloane. He pauses. No one hurt you, did they?
His voice is filled with concern, and I think he's talking about Roger, but I can't tell him about the pill, about the kiss.
No, I lie. I just didn't think you were coming back.
I slowly release him and lie back down in my bed, glad he's here.
You should sleep, Realm whispers. Meet you for breakfast?
I nod, smiling.
Maybe they'll have waffles.
He laughs. If not, I'll find you some. I curl up on my side as he fixes my blankets.
He probably would.
I watch as he leaves, quietly closing the door behind him. Seeing him again is like a huge weight lifted off my chest. Even though I know I was upset earlier, I can't remember why. I'm just glad my friend is back. The next morning, Realm is waiting at my table, looking fresh in a pair of new lemon-yellow scrubs. His hair is still wet and brushed back, making him look younger somehow. Paired with his black eye, it's almost adorable.
It's not waffles, he says, as if expecting me to be disappointed. But I filled out a suggestion card, so hopefully tomorrow.
I laugh and sit next to him, not bothering to get my food yet.
Did you get that shiner from the handler? I ask, leaning to look at it.
Realm watches me as I examine him, a sad expression on his face.
Roger got an elbow in, he says quietly. But I nearly choked him to death, so it's about even.
I tense and turn away, wishing I hadn't let Roger touch me, but knowing that I got to keep a piece of myself in return. Or at least, I hope.
What? Realm asks.
Nothing, I murmur. I'm just hungry. I get up and walk to the food line. I'm at the end of my third week, and I continue to refuse my pills. I almost wish I didn't know what the medication did to me so I wouldn't have to have this battle every day. But I do know, and I want to fight. After a therapy session and a fresh injection, I'm halfway back to my room when he walks into the hall.
Hello, Sloane, Roger says. Sorry I haven't been around. Been spending a lot of time at your new school.
At the sound of his voice, goosebumps raise on my arms.
Leave me alone, I say, my words slightly slurred. Don't you want to know why?
I turn to look at him as his dark hair falls over his eyes.
No. Does the name James Murphy sound familiar? He asks.
I gasp and stop walking, steadying myself on the wall. James is my boyfriend, or at least he was until he went into the program. He'd been friends with Miller, and before that...
What?
Who was James before that? I press the heel of my hand against my forehead. I can't remember.
Seems James is being difficult. No wonder you two were together for so long. You're a couple of troublemakers.
Roger laughs, and I want to lunge at him and scratch out his eyes.
Is he okay? I ask.
Roger nods.
He's fine, just a pain in the ass. He's always testing his handlers, slipping away. He's lucky he'll be 18 soon, otherwise he might end up back here. James is okay. I smile and lean against the wall.
You know, Sloane, Roger whispers, walking to stand close to me. After another session or two, James will be gone from your memory altogether.
Shut up, I say, squeezing my eyes closed when his fingers brush my bare arm.
I told you the price, and I think it's fair. What do you say?
He leans closer, his peppermint breath on my ear. His finger glides up my arm and onto my shirt, grazing the side of my breast. The room is tilting from my medication, but I'm trying to hold on. I don't want to be this vulnerable around him. I don't want his disgusting hands on me.
No, I snarl. He says, and loops his arm around my waist, putting my head against his shoulder. Maybe I should help you to your room.
I try to pull away and nearly fall when I hear a shout from down the hall.
Hey, Raj, Realm says, his hands in the pockets of his yellow scrubs. Looks like you might need some help.
Instead of responding, Roger lays me down on the floor, backing away.
Wasn't doing anything wrong, Michael, he responds.
Is that right? Realm calls, walking toward us. The coolness of the white tiles feels good against my cheek. Realm's image is sideways as he approaches.
Weren't doing anything wrong with any of the other girls either? Realm asks. What would Dr. Warren say?
Realm's features are clouded as he comes to stand over me. I reach to touch the hem of his pants, fisting the fabric as I try to pull myself up.
You keep a secret and I will too, Roger says, his eyes narrowed to slits as he backs down the hall.
Realm takes my hand and gently tugs me to my feet.
Sloane, can you walk? He asks.
I try to say yes as I lean into him, but I can't seem to get my balance. Realm bends and then slips his arms under my knees and scoops me up, my head against his chest. He starts toward my room as Roger gets as far against the wall as he can.
This isn't over, Realm says to him before kicking open my door. I can feel his body tense around me, and I wonder what Roger would have done to me if Realm hadn't shown up. But I push the thought away, clinging to Realm as he lays me in my bed. I ask him to stay, not letting go of his shirt until his arms are around me. Then I drift, unconscious. When it's time for dinner, Realm and I don't talk about what happened. At least, not at first. He helps me get my food, even as Derek and Shep break his balls, saying he's whipped. I'm trembling, alternating between hot and cold flashes like a bad reaction to the medication.
Can I sit with you?
Tabitha asks, poised at the end of our table. The guys laugh, but Realm moves over.
Of course, Tabby.
I smile at him, thinking he's kind. He's smart. He reminds me of James in a way, always knowing how to make me feel better. James makes me laugh, too, although I can't remember the last time we did that.
Here, Realm says, putting a piece of cornbread on my tray. You need to eat, Sloane. You're wasting away.
Maybe I want to waste away.
Don't say things like that in here, he whispers fiercely. You'll get flagged again.
I nod, feeling bad for upsetting him, and I take his hand under the table. I'm just feeling sorry for myself, I say quietly. My memories. I don't have many left. Realm squeezes my hand and doesn't let go. He looks at me like he understands, and then we go back to our dinner, listening as the others talk. I nod when Derek tells us that he's going to move out of the country once he's 18. I'm grateful Realm is holding on to me. It doesn't feel romantic. It feels like a lifeline.
Chapter 10.
After a spirited game of cards, Realm and I retreat to the couch to watch a movie with a few others. I'm curled up next to him, and no one says anything. No nurses tell us to move apart. We can do what we want, and it's nice. It's the first time in a long while that I feel in control. When Nurse Kell comes in and tells us all it's time to return to our rooms, Realm pulls me in the other direction instead.
Wanna come hang out in my room?
He asks, motioning down the hall. I shrug, holding on to his arm as we walk. Opening his door, he allows me to go in first, and then he checks the hallway before closing it behind us.
It's fun to sneak around, isn't it? He asks.
It is, and I thought nothing could beat being constantly medicated. I laugh, but a serious expression comes over Realm's face. He goes to sit on his bed as I sit in the chair facing him. I start to fidget, knowing he wants to talk about Roger.
Sloane, I have to ask. Did he rape you?
What? I look up, startled. No.
Then what happened?
Realm swallows hard, and I know there's no use in denying it altogether.
He offered a trade. Oh, God.
It was for a kiss, some touching, but I need him really hard when that happened. It was just a kiss. I feel sick thinking about it and lower my head, not wanting Realm to see my face.
And in return?
He gave me a pill, said it would let me hold on to a memory. Realm swears under his breath, rubbing roughly at his face.
I'm gonna kill him, he says, mostly to himself. I told him to leave you alone.
He's done it to others, hasn't he? I ask.
Realm nods and then looks over at me, pained. I think maybe it's been going on for a while.
I cringe, thinking about girls here having sex with that freak, and I can't believe I ever let him touch me. I just wanted to keep my life, keep myself. I feel violated and stupid, and I wrap my arms around myself as I sit back in the chair.
It doesn't work, you know, Realm says. The pill to block. With a memory out of context, it'll never come back or make sense. You shouldn't take it.
I flinch as if I've been slapped. I'd let Roger touch me, and now I wasn't getting what I was promised. It was for nothing. I did it for nothing.
It doesn't work? I ask, my voice strained.
Realm shakes his head. My world practically crumbles around me. My only hope is gone. I'd pinned everything on keeping the memories. I'm truly lost.
You should give the pill to me, he says.
I can't, I say quietly. I already took it.
Realm's face flares with anger. You idiot, he says. You could have been killed.
Stunned, I lower my eyes, Realm's harsh words stinging. I move to get up, but he reaches quickly for my hand.
I'm sorry, he whispers. I didn't mean that. Please don't go. I'm just frustrated, Sloane.
He stops talking, and when I finally look up again, he exhales.
Sorry, he repeats, sliding his fingers from mine. Let's just change the subject, okay? I don't have anywhere else to go, so I sit back down.
Whatever, I say.
Realm is always so accepting of the program, so ready to let them take his past. But that's not me. I don't want to change.
Realm scoots over on the bed, patting the blanket.
Will you sit with me? He asks.
I nod and move to put my knee on the bed, climbing up next to him.
It's going to be okay, he says softly. It's almost over.
I stare at him, the air seeming to rush out of me.
Is that all I have to look forward to? The point where I'm empty?
He smiles sadly.
It won't hurt anymore once you forget. It's the only thing that can save us now.
He bends to rest his forehead against mine, whispering,
We can't go on like this. You have a huge hole here.
He puts his palm over my heart, and the touch is intimate and almost comforting. It's not butterflies or romantic. I don't have those feelings for him. But it's a touch that makes me feel human, alive. I don't know if I can make it, I say, closing my eyes.
You can. You've made it this far, and hell, you're not dead, right?
He moves back and takes my chin, making me look at him.
Now I want you to hold me, he jokes, curling me against him as we lie back against the pillows. It's lucky that we were both here, he continues as he begins to play with my hair. Otherwise, I'd have to snuggle with Nurse Kel.
I laugh, putting my hand on his chest, over his heart. I'm surprised by how fast it's beating.
You nervous? I ask. Well, I am in bed with a pretty girl. I think this sort of reaction is beyond my control.
I sit up, and Realm shifts to lie flat on the bed. I get on my elbow and look down at his face. The black under his eye has faded, and his skin looks healthier than it did the first time I met him. The scar around his neck is healed, and I wonder how old it is. I trace my index finger over the raised pink line, and he holds his breath, his dark eyes meeting mine.
Does it still hurt? I ask.
Realm licks his lips, but is slow to answer.
Every day.
I pause, my finger under his chin.
Me too, I respond.
Realm reaches to draw me closer, and I don't pull away. I'm so lonely, so broken, that I don't think I'll ever be fixed. Being with someone could make me forget for a while. Realm's been good to me. He's my friend. But as he leans forward, something inside of me seizes up. Just when his mouth meets mine, I turn away, making his lips brush my cheek instead.
I can't, I murmur. Realm is not my boyfriend. He's not James.
I close my eyes and lower my head to his chest, hugging him and hoping he won't send me away. I don't want to be alone right now. Realm immediately starts to apologize, but I stop him.
It's not you. I'm with James, I tell him, not sure if it's cruel to say. I love him.
Realm adjusts his position, but doesn't push me aside. Instead, he wraps me in a hug.
I understand, he whispers.
I'm going to find him again, I say, mostly to myself. The program can't erase James from my heart. I know they can't.
If it's meant to be, Realm says, sounding like my mother. But underneath, I hear his hurt. I don't respond and just let him hold me, knowing that I shouldn't be here like this. But no one ever comes in to make me go back to my room. And when I start to fall asleep, I think that my guilt is gone, if only for a moment. I've become comfortably numb.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.